Almost 11 months later, he writes to Adams. Mr. Jefferson and I exchanged letters once in 6, 9, or 12 months. After mentioning the visit paid to you by his two neighbors, and these are the Coles, last summer, he adds, among other things, he, Mr. Adams, adverted to the unprincipled licentiousness of the press against myself, adding, I always loved Jefferson and still love him. This is enough for me. I only needed this knowledge to revive towards him all the affections of the most cordial moments of our lives. And now, my dear friend, permit me again to suggest to you to receive the olive branch which has thus been offered to you by the hand of a man who still loves you. Embrace, embrace each other. Bedew your letters of reconciliation with tears of affection and joy. Bury in silence all the causes of your separation. Recollect the explanations may be proper between lovers, but are never so between divided friends. To Jefferson, he writes, when he learns that, in fact, Adams has taken up the olive branch, posterity will do you both justice for this act. And Mr. Adams' letters to you are written in the same elevated and nervous style, both as to matter and language, that his letters are, which he now and then addresses to me. I am sure you will be delighted with his correspondence. Some of his thoughts electrify me. I view him as a mountain with its head clear and reflecting the beams of the sun, while all below is frost and snow. And again, he's right. There is this, we'll see in the correspondence, the remarkable difference between the two figures. Jefferson, composed, serene. Adams, nervous, excitable, and always invigorating. The correspondence goes through a couple of stages. At first, they restate their political positions. Then we'll see, they move on to explaining their past actions. And after that, the correspondence covers every major topic imaginable, from metaphysics and political economy to theology and belles lettres, from international affairs to the virtues of the Enlightenment. And the character of the two men is, in fact, exemplified in the opening exchange. Adams sends him the following letter on January 1st, 1812. As you are a friend to American manufacturers under proper restrictions, especially manufacturers of the domestic kind, I take the liberty of sending you by the post a packet containing two pieces of homespun lately produced in this quarter by one who was honored in his youth with some of your attention and much of your kindness. Now, in fact, the package did not arrive with the letter. So Jefferson responds with a long, somber, and serious discourse on manufacturers and commerce. Well, that's perfect Jefferson, always serious, always earnest, always involved in the higher issues. But Adams was being just typical goofy John Adams, telling a joke. What he's actually sent are a two-volume work by his son, John Quincy Adams, Lectures on Rhetoric and Oratory, which had been delivered while he was a professor at Harvard. And that sort of exemplifies the way all the exchanges will go. Jefferson always trying to lift it to a more exalted frame, and Adams trying to get personal. And indeed, Adams will wheedle, tease, and prod Jefferson, forcing him to dispute their political positions. Something Jefferson's very reluctant to do. Jefferson does not like to engage in disputation. So Adams throws these little barbs at him in their letters. On February 3rd of 1812, he writes, I have read Thucydides and Tacitus so often and at such distant periods of my life that elegant, profound, and enchanting as is their style, I am weary of them. When I read them, I seem to be only reading the history of my own times and my own life. And here he's referring to the machinations of politics in ancient Greece, and claiming that the same is true of America. And then he adds the following P.S. P.S. I forgot to remark your preference to savage over civilized life. I have something to say upon that subject. I would rather be the poorest man in France or England, with sound health of body and mind, than the proudest king, sachem, or warrior of any tribe of savages in America. Well, Jefferson refuses to respond. So the following month, he writes another one. In the measures of administration, I have neither agreed with you or Mr. Madison. Whether you or I were right, posterity must judge. I have never approved of non-importations, non-intercourses, or embargoes for more than 6 weeks. I never have approved and never can approve the repeal of the taxes, the repeal of the judiciary system, or the neglect of the Navy. And Adams blasts Jefferson for, again, a critique that Jefferson had leveled at Adams in a letter he sent to Priestley.